Just want to read two scriptures, one in Revelation, chapter 21. Revelation 21 and verse 23. It's page 1509. Revelation 21 verse 23. And the city has no need of the sun nor of the moon that they should shine for it. For the glory of God has enlightened it, and the lamp thereof is the Lamb. And the nations shall walk by its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory to it. And its gates shall not be shut at all by day, for night shall not be there. And they shall bring the glory and the honour of the nations to it. And nothing common, nor that maketh an abomination and a lie, shall at all enter into it, but only those only who are written in the book of life of the Lamb. And then in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22. Page 1462. Hebrews 12 and verse 22. But ye have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, the universal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, and to God, judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, speaking better than Abel. You're a householder today, and maybe if you're not, you'll probably have filled in a census form. Today is census day, where everybody in the land is counted. But I want to ask you a question tonight as to whether your name is written in the book of life. When Jesus sent his disciples out, they were very overwhelmed by the acts of power that happened. But he said to them when they came back, rejoice moreover that your names are written in heaven. And that's what my burden is tonight, dear friend, that you should know that your name is written in the book of life. It says here in the end of the Bible, this is looking on to the very end, those only who are written in the book of life of the Lamb. I just want to speak for a few moments tonight about this wonderful book. It's God's book. It's not written by man. It's written by God himself. And it's a book of life of the Lamb. What the gospel is concerned tonight is with is life, dear friend. We live in a world where everything is marked by death. Death has come in, as we know, as a result of sin. The wages of sin is death. It speaks louder than any other thing. That old tract, you know, a preacher of the old school. People won't listen to the preaching, maybe. They might turn away. They might turn deaf ears to what the Bible says. But you know, you can't escape death. Because it is, as it says in the scripture, it's come upon all. The wages of sin is death. You can't do anything about it. You can't stop it. Men like to try and avoid it. They try and put it off. But at the end, you know, God has the last say. The wages of sin is death. And you know, the devil is against you tonight. He wants to prevent you from being saved. He wants to prevent you from being blessed. He is a murderer. It says in the scriptures that he was a murderer from the beginning. That is the one who is against you, the devil. He wants to prevent you from coming into blessing. But I can tell you, dear friends, tonight in the glad tidings, that God's love is greater than that. Whatever the devil might try and do, God's love is greater than that. And we see that at the cross of Christ. So I want to speak tonight not about death, but about life. Because that is what God wants to bring you into tonight, is life. So it says here, the book of life of the Lamb. Now I was wondering about that. Why is it of the Lamb? You know, it is because I think if you're to come in to life tonight, if you're to understand what it means to be brought into a sphere of blessing and life, it requires a sacrifice. It required that a price was paid. And therefore, in the gospel tonight, we present the Lamb. It's not a sheep. You know, sheep are willful. We're like sheep. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. But this isn't about the sheep, it's about the Lamb. Someone, something who is perfect, blameless, innocent. And does that not bring into your mind a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ himself? Blameless. A lamb, it says, without blemish. Perfect. Have you ever met anyone who's perfect? There was only one man ever, who was perfect. And that was God's beloved Son. He could not sin. He did not sin. He was in his prime when he went to the cross. It says he began to be about 30 years of age. You know, a lamb. He wasn't an old man, speaking reverently. It's a lamb without blemish. I want you to think about that, dear friend. He went to the cross willingly for you and for me. He fulfilled God's will. Think of that. God had brought in death as a consequence of sin. And God could have been in his rights to clear the whole scene in judgment. He did, of course, in Noah's day, apart from eight individuals. Through God's grace, you know, that line, it was going to produce something for him. And God is never defeated, you know. You look around, you say, where is God? I can tell you where he is. He's found in Jesus. He's found at the cross. The book of life of the Lamb. There's only one way to get into that book, dear friend, tonight. It doesn't matter, you know, what other things you might belong to. Men have their clubs and societies. People pay money to get into these things. You know, you've heard the expression, it's not what you know, it's who you know. There's only one way to get into this book, and that's by having to do with God's beloved Son, the one who gave himself, the Son of God. Who, as the Apostle Paul says, he gave himself for me. Wonderful that is, you know. I think of who Jesus is, how mighty it is. And we were reading in Revelation about the greatness of Jesus. At the beginning of Revelation, you get the titles of Jesus. How great he is. How glorious he is. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. How magnificent, how glorious Jesus is. And yet here is portrayed as the Lamb. Innocent, willing to be led to the cross. I marvel at that, you know. He gave himself, it says, in the hand of sinners. The creator of the universe, God's beloved Son. And yet he was willing to be led up Calvary's Hill. Why? Because he was fulfilling God's will. He did what his Father asked him to do. He knelt before God the Father, if it be possible. If it be possible. I often think of those words. It wasn't possible. If you were to be saved, and if I was to be saved. He was, the prophet says, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Led as a lamb. Just think of it. Doesn't it affect your heart that the one who is so almighty, the creator of the universe, you know, Jesus is God. He's not just a good man. He's not just a prophet. Not just a teacher. He is God. Always was God. Always will be. But he's also the Lamb of God. The one who is submissive. The one who is perfect. The one who is willing to be led to, as a lamb to the slaughter. To pay the price for your sins and for mine. You know, God requires... He's a righteous God and he requires payment for sin. You know, when Cain sinned back in Genesis, right at the beginning of Scripture, he was offered a remedy, wasn't he? Sin lieth at the door. And there was a sacrifice available. Abel understood it. He realized he offered the lamb, didn't he? Cain thought he could please God on his own, through the fruit of his own works. How many throughout the ages have tried that? And maybe tonight you're trying to please God by your own efforts. It will never work. Because it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all come short. Doesn't matter who you are, whether you're the greatest preacher in the land or the Archbishop of Canterbury. Doesn't matter who you are. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you know, there is a remedy. There is a way back to God. God wants to have fellowship with you. He wants you to be in his presence. You know, when man had sinned, it says that Jehovah came down in the cool of the day. He said, "Where art thou? Where are you tonight, dear friend? Are you hiding from God?" You know, God will find you out. Adam was found out and Eve was found out and you will be found out. David found that, didn't he? He writes in the Psalms that wherever he goes, God will be there. You can't escape from God tonight, dear friend. You cannot escape. Everything is laid bare, it says, before we have to do. But you know, you can put things right. You can have peace. This world is sadly lacking in peace, isn't it? But you can have peace with God. And then he'll give you his own peace. And you can't have the peace of God unless you know something of the peace with God. You can have peace with God. You can make it right. So you can come into his presence with everything settled. The old gospel hymn says, isn't it, the old account was settled years ago. I wonder if your account has been settled. You know, every sin is racking up a debt against God, isn't it? Every sin. How great my debt would be. And yet, you know, God in the glad tidings is offering a way to relieve that debt, to write it off. You know, sometimes I see adverts where it says, your debts can be written off. I'm sure there's a catch somewhere. Because nothing in this life is free, is it? But you know, in terms of your sin, your debt can be written off. Entirely. I love that scripture where it says, he frankly forgave them both. No conditions, no strings attached. And how is God able to justify you, to make you right? How is God able to forgive you? It's because of the Lamb that was slain, the Lamb that shed his precious blood. You know, in Exodus, you can read the story when Israel were going to escape from Egypt. They killed the lamb, didn't they? And they put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. And then the destroying angel who was going to bring in judgment, when he saw the blood, he passed over. Tonight, dear friend, I just ask you a simple question. Are you under the blood of the Lamb? Has your sins been washed away in his precious blood? The book of life of the Lamb, that glorious one, Jesus. This is who it is. It's Jesus, the Lamb of God. Dear friend, he gave himself for you. He died for you. He shed his precious blood for you. That God can look upon the blood and say, I forgive you because of the blood. He doesn't look upon you exactly. He looks upon the blood. And he says, because of that. Doesn't one of our hymns say, can point to the atoning blood and say, that has made my peace with God. Dear friend, tonight, my sincere prayer will be that everyone here tonight is under the blood of the Lamb. Covered, secured, safe. You know, once you're in this book, it can never be erased. No eraser can rub it out. The page can't be lost. The file can't be lost. You know, even computers can fail. Disks can be lost. List here, this book here, is God's book, and it will never be erased. Once you're saved by Jesus' precious blood, you can never be lost. Oh, what a wonderful salvation we have, don't we? The book of life of the Lamb. May your name be in that book, if never before. May you see it there, and have the assurance that you are safe because of the precious blood of Jesus. I just read the other scripture. It talks about another registration here in verse 23. I might be registered in a census, but how about being registered in heaven? It says we've come to these wonderful things and to the assembly of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. Isn't that interesting? You see, because when you're saved, you're saved as an individual. God loves you and he's given his son for you. Paul said that, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. But then you realise that once you're saved by God's grace and mercy, that you're not on your own. There are many others. You're brought into a wonderful company, and that company is called the church or the assembly. And it's still bought by the same precious blood, isn't it? It speaks of the assembly of God, which is purchased by the blood of his own. And here it says we're brought to these wonderful things, the universal gathering and the assembly of the firstborn. Firstborn, something that's new. It's something to do with life, isn't it? It's a sphere of life. Death has been done away with here. Death has been defeated because of what Christ has done. And so we're registered in heaven as part of this wonderful company. You know, isn't that wonderful? We know when a sinner is saved, he's not on his own anymore. He's part of a wonderful company, isn't he, that belongs to God. Purchased by the same sacrifice, but we're brought into this wonderful company, God is going to present to the world in a day to come. Some of us were reading about it. He's going to present this wonderful company. And every member will have been redeemed by the same precious blood, the same way. I wonder what you're banking on tonight, what assurance you have. Is your hopes and dreams centred in this world, which is going on to destruction? You know, Noah preached for 120 years and people mocked at him. But you know, he trusted God and he had a faith that would see him right through. And he came out the other side, didn't he? Onto a land that had been renewed. Here it says that we are registered in heaven, assembly of the firstborn, those who will be raised. You know, when Jesus comes again, it says the dead in Christ will rise first, and we the living who remain, and we'll be caught up. And what a wonderful company. It will, for the first time, we'll see what Jesus has done. We'll see the effects of what he's done. The church, his own personal bride, what belongs to him, you know, will be seen for the first time. And the question to you is, will you be part of it? Will you be there? That's the old song, isn't it? Will you be there? I think we should all be there. What a sight that will be. It says we've come, and I like just the way it ends, and to Jesus. We've come to all these things, myriads of angels, assembly of the firstborn, judge of all, spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus. Tonight, dear friend, the gospel is going out that you might come to him. The Saviour, the Lamb of God, the one who sacrificially gave himself, the Son of God, that wonderful person, the Lamb of God. And as you put your trust and faith in him, as you trust what he did for you, then you find you'll come into this wonderful company. It's nothing like it. There's no club or society or organization on this earth which compares with it, because it's something which is registered in heaven. We can't see it now. I don't know every believer. I don't know everyone that's saved. The Lord does. It says the Lord knows those that are his. Everyone that's registered in heaven, the Lord knows. I don't know. I don't know who's registered here. But God does. The Lord Jesus knows. So I just leave that with you. You come to him. May we, all of us, come to him, to Jesus, the one who is indeed the Lamb of God. What wonderful invitation it is. May we make sure tonight that our names are written, as the old gospel hymn says, you know, is your name written there in those pages, bright and fair? It doesn't matter what fame or fortune you have in this world. The important thing is your name written in heaven? And it can only be there by that wonderful sacrifice of the blessed Lamb of God, the one who gave himself for you and for me. May we come to Jesus tonight for his name's sake. Amen.